The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, if Christianity is really the truth, why do we so many people today convert to Islam? My friend, don't make the mistake of believing that truth is determined by the majority. Remember, the majority once accepted slavery in history. Be that as it may, while Islam may be recruiting people, they are also losing people, and this you do not hear about quite as much. Millions of Muslims a year are converting to Christianity. Joining us today is a man who reaches out to Muslims and here to introduce some returning one of our co-hosts, Kevin Conover. Kevin, welcome back to our program.
Thank you very much, Bob. Always a pleasure to be on the show. I'm very excited about having Fahd Masri on the show. He is an expert in Islam. He was born and raised in Beirut, Lebanon. He is a third-generation pastor. He has been reaching Muslims since 1979. He came to America to attend seminary, and in 1993, he founded the Crescent Project to reach Muslims. That's his ministry. He's been featured in Christianity Today, Newsweek, Mission Network News, CBN, TBN, The Janet Parshall Show, and Primetime America, and now The Bob Siegel Show. Fahd is the author of...
We saved the best for last,
yeah, that's
course.
Right, exactly.
Gave him something to work up to.
That's right. Fahd is the author of Is the Injil Corrupted? And ambassadors to Muslims. He's trained more than 18,000 Christians to sensitively and purposely share their faith with Muslims. And in fact, for all of our audience listening out there today, there is a conference coming out that his ministry is hosting, and that's here in San Diego. It's at Claremont Covenant Church from November 6th through the 8th. Fantastic opportunity to become better at sharing your faith and ministering and developing relationships with Muslims. Fahd, I'd like to welcome you to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Fantastic. Well, I'm excited to hear from you. We've had the topic of Islam has been on Bob's show for the past 2 weeks now. This will be the third week.
Yeah, I need to tell the audience we're not trying to beat a horse to death, but 2 weeks ago, Kevin and I interviewed somebody from the local chapter of CARE. Last week, I did eventually move on and do other things, but it's just been so big in the news between ISIS and a local beheading in Oklahoma. But next week, I promise to move on to a much lighter topic, some pastors being ordered by the mayor in Houston, Texas, to turn over their sermons because they had the nerve to speak against genderless bathrooms. So it'll be a real light, easy topic next week. But today, more with Islam.
Yeah. Fahd, I was wondering, could you, before we get into some of the questions that I have personally, can you give us a little bit of background on how you got involved in reaching Muslims?
Yes, I grew up in Beirut, Lebanon. During the war, I had heard the gospel through my parents. My grandfather had become a believer when he came to America, and so he brought the gospel back, and we are really in debt to the church in America for sharing the gospel with my grandfather. But growing up in the war in Lebanon, it made me evaluate life, and I found out that Jesus is the only way to have peace on this planet, that because he focused on the inside. Everybody focuses on the outside. Everybody wants a religion. Everybody wants a system. Everybody wants the rules. But Jesus says, anyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. But if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Christ says, I am the vine, you are in the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. So I, through other situations, for the sake of time, I'll keep it short. I came to my realization that the problem in the Middle East, at the core of it, is hate. At the core of it, I hate people. I hated Palestinians. I hated Israelis. I hated people from different backgrounds. So I went to my room and I knelt by my bed and I asked Jesus to forgive me. And I said, Lord, the more there's war in Lebanon, I want to be a soldier of peace. The more there's hate in Lebanon, I want to be a soldier of love. And God changed my heart and started sharing the gospel with my friends, my neighbors, my classmates. And God is so good because every year, every week, every day, God is moving actively on this planet. And sadly, we don't see it, but he is moving. Many times we don't see what he's doing, but people are coming to Christ on a regular basis.
That's fantastic.
And in the last 10 years, and this is something all our listeners need to know, in the last 10 years, more Muslims have become followers of Jesus than the previous 1,400 years, and we praise God for that.
Now, wow. I've heard the figure 6 million Muslims a year, but I wanted to check with you because the source for that was Al Jazeera's network, and they don't have a great reputation. Would you agree with that figure, 6 million Muslims a year coming to Christ?
That figure, I heard it on Al Jazeera, too. It was an interview with an imam who does da'wah. Da'wah means converting people to Islam. And so he's referring, maybe his numbers could be true. I'm not sure if he's talking about people becoming believers in Christ or he's talking about people just leaving Islam. Because in the council of many Muslims, everything they see from the West is Christian. So everything they see on television and movies. So it could be that somebody leaves Islam and maybe, let's say, changes the way they dress.
Right. Do you have a more accurate figure of how many people are becoming genuine Christians leaving the Muslim faith?
There are some figures coming out. One of the struggles that we have is that there are a lot of believers who are secret believers who would not like to share.
Right, right.
But the numbers that come to us is usually from the numbers of people who give their testimony and the number of house churches. So, for example, if you look at a country like Sudan or Iran or Syria or Lebanon or Morocco, the number of house churches, that gives us a figure. And if you notice, we're comparing it to the past. So, for example, the figure for Iran is 250,000 house churches. But that's on the high end. A more conservative might be 100,000. But still, that's pretty huge number compared to 10 years ago.
And that is per year or within the last year? Or what's the time span for that?
Probably the last 15 years.
15 years, okay.
Now, that's very interesting. Would you say that as far as converting to Islam, that Iran is one of the more difficult or the most difficult country to be a Christian in, or how does that compare to other countries in the Middle East? Are you there, Fahd?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Your question is, where is the hardest?
Yeah, so you were saying that there were maybe 100,000 to 250,000 house churches in Iran, and my understanding is Iran is one of the most difficult places to be a Christian because of the persecution that is there. Are there other countries that are more difficult to convert out of Islam to Christianity than Iran?
Yes, thank you. That's a good question. What I would like to share is this. Converting to follow Jesus is always hard. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Because you have family issues, cultural issues, you know, security issues. However, there are countries, Muslim countries, who pass stricter laws. Although across the board, once you say your country is a Muslim country, then legally a person cannot leave Islam. Tunisia is now the first country in the Muslim world that declared in its constitution you can change your religion as a Muslim country. Lebanon, although now majority of the people in Lebanon are Muslim, but Lebanon did not start as a Muslim country. They have a constitution similar to the French and the American constitution. So since its inception, 1943, Lebanon was a country that allowed freedom of religion. What's happening today is you have countries like Saudi Arabia, like Iran, like Oman, Yemen, Sudan, Libya, even Egypt, the country that's supposed to be more progressive than others, it does not allow people to leave a religion of Islam. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is because on face value, look at the news, say, oh, maybe Iran is the toughest. Well, that's not the case. Malaysia have the same rule. And so it's a struggle for us today to say, is it easier for a Muslim to come to Christ in a country that has restricted laws or lenient rules. In reality, what I would like to tell everybody is they're coming to Christ in all places, in Canada, in Mexico, in Latin America. They're coming to Christ in Libya. They're coming to Christ in Algeria. And sometimes we hear different reports, so I try to always go on the conservative side.
Yeah.
But the beauty is, I've been sharing the gospel since 1979, and the beauty is that repeatedly we are seeing more and more openness from Muslims. Part of the reason they're coming to Christ is they need a practicing believer. Most Muslims get their information about Jesus from television.
Mm.
But then when they meet somebody who really practices the faith, then they say, oh, wow, this is the faith. We didn't
yeah.
know that.
Yeah.
Now, aren't they particularly enamored when people talk about a personal relationship with God? I know that when I've spoken with Muslim foreign exchange students on college campuses, when I tell them that I've actually met God through His Spirit, they are just very intrigued by that.
They do, because what their struggle is that they don't have that relationship. Islam is a religion of rules and regulations. So it details for you everything from how to use the toothpick to, you know, to, for example, how to, you know, pray and fast and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's where the struggle is.
Now, you have a conference coming up here in San Diego. Can you tell us a little bit about that, November 6th to the 8th?
Yes, our conference is designed to help churches and individuals learn how to build bridges. And the goal today for us is, instead of building walls, let's build bridges. Everybody looks at the news and they want to build walls.
Mm.
And Christ says, no, we need to build bridges. So our vision and our challenge of this conference is 2.5 days, Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday till 4, is designed with classes and sessions and testimonies on what is God doing and how we can lock arms together and build bridges. Today is not the day to turn our back. This is not the day to be afraid, but this is the day to say we have something to share with them. Christ said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So let's share the abundant life.
Yeah. I teach apologetics to high school students, and one of the things I tell my students is that a big part of the devil's tactic is just to isolate Christians from others so that they don't even get a chance to talk to them. Because he knows he'll lose if the truth gets out. And so what he does is he tries to prevent the truth from being able to spread. And it seems to me that that has been a big part of his tactic with Islam, is just keeping Christians and Muslims separate so that they don't have an opportunity, especially here in America, they don't have an opportunity to actually have a good discussion over this subject.
Okay, we'll be back with our special guest reaching out to Muslims, Fawad Marzri, and you're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined by Kevin Conover, and our special guest is Fahd Masri with the Crescent Projects. Fahd, welcome back to our program. It looks like we lost you. Did you think you were only going to be on for one segment? Hello, Fahd?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yeah. We had lost you. I was wondering if we did plan on having you on for the whole hour. Did you think when we went to a break that we were done?
No, I did not. I just, my signal cut off.
Oh, okay. So. Okay. That's fine. But yeah, we will be having some breaks, but just hold on with us over the break. Anyway, glad to have you back. And Kevin was in the middle of asking you something right before we went to a commercial.
Yeah, what I was saying was, you know, you're hosting this conference and you call it Bridges. And I think that's such an appropriate name. What I've found is a lot of people, because of misinformation, whether they're fearful to talk to Muslims or whether they just never have the opportunity to engage with Muslims, there seems to be kind of that roadblock or a wall, like you were saying. Is that what you've experienced in America also?
Yes, many times, you know, we as believers know there are problems, okay? We see Islam, we see ISIS, we see Muslim imams, we hear different messages. So for me, as a believer, I know the only solution is Jesus. So I want to spend time telling my friends about Jesus. I don't want to tell them about all the problems in their religion. They already know it. Muslims today know Islam is not working. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to look at the Muslim world and see that it's not working. So, you know, you hear propaganda that ISIS is not Muslim and, you know, they don't represent us and all that, you know, publicity. And that's fine. They can do their own publicity. You know, that's their money. They want to spend it, you know, telling people it's not Islam. Okay, I think it is part of Islam. I think Islamic terrorism will continue with us. It's not going to go away. Partly because of chapter 9 and chapter 25 and chapter 47 of the Quran. However, as a believer, I know that the truth that changes people is not another religion. Christ never talked about religion. He talked about faith. What is faith? Do you believe in a God? Do you believe in a God that saves you? Do you believe in God that redeems you? And that's where I want to spend my time. So the conference that we're doing in San Diego is our annual conference. We call it Oasis. The one-day seminar is called Bridges, but Oasis is designed to present different ways for Christians to share the gospel with Muslims. And we share testimonies. We'll hear from people who become believers from Muslim background who share with us a little bit about what impacted them the most. It also, there's hands-on training, like classroom sessions where people will learn how to witness to immigrants, how to witness to students, how to witness to refugees. And that's important for us because today America has 7 million Muslims who are citizens, but then we have a lot of people coming. And if we think less are going to come, that's not true.
Okay, yeah. So
it's unraveling. So this is why we want to do this conference.
So, Fahd, we have a lot of Christians out listening to the radio show, and they're thinking to themselves here, why should I go to this conference here, this Oasis conference? I've never even spoken to a Muslim. I don't even run into Muslims. Maybe I see them once in a while at the mall or whatever the case. But here in San Diego, I've been told, and I've read a little bit about, that we have one of the largest influx of Muslim immigrants and so forth. Would you say that that is true? And what would you say to the person who says, I just don't have any contact with Muslims? How would you encourage them as far as the need for them to go to this conference?
Well, first, there's 1 million Muslims in the state of California. On the San Diego County, they are in Temecula. They are in El Cajon. They are right now in many cities across San Diego County. They're also already in Orange County. So the idea I'm saying is, if you're not running into Muslims, I don't know, where are you? Number one. So 1 out of 30 people in California is a Muslim. That's without the immigrants that we're talking about, the people who are now naturalized citizens. So okay. If you don't meet Muslims, fine. I'll come to you in a minute. But if you meet Muslims at work or school or refugee center, I'll encourage them to come. There'll be synergy. They'll meet other people. Now, if you don't meet Muslims, then we discovered as people take the training, God puts Muslims in their path.
Yeah.
And if you don't meet Muslims, come at least learn about the religion. We are going to have a presentation on what is ISIS and how to deal with militant Islam. So there'll be a couple of things that helps us as believers. And I believe that every believer is a leader in the community. You need to arise the alertness and the awareness on both sides. There should be awareness of Islam, but also there's an alertness because Islam is a political system. So the idea that they're here and they're not going to try to influence, that's not the case. They are. We already have two senators who are Muslims and they wanted to swear on the Quran. And that's another cup of tea that we don't want to get into now. So it's important to know that this conference equips the believer on understanding Islam, understanding militant Islam, but then also understanding how to share the gospel.
So it's both a warning and it's an encouragement also. The word gospel means good news, and a lot of times as Christians we're so used to talking about something that isn't true. And so instead of saying negative things about Islam, you want to equip people to say positive things about a relationship with Christ.
Amen. And for us, when you talk to Muslims, you want to start where they are. We want also to help Christians have a toolbox. Sometimes Christians have a toolbox, but there's one tool called the hammer.
Yeah.
And so what we are about is let's give Christians a toolbox that has different tools. And many times people who take the training, they say, well, I can use this with my Muslim friend, but guess what? I like this approach. I can use it with another person or another friend who might be, I don't know, nominal believer or somebody who got hurt with the church or an atheist or a Mormon or somebody from another faith that I can help bridge the gospel. Our biggest responsibility as believers is to be building bridges and building this idea of being a representative of Christ. Christ says, I am the water of life. This is what's happening today. Muslims are living like in a spiritual desert. And they need Jesus, who is like an oasis, who is the water of life, who can help them, you know, get out of this ritualism and this fear from God into knowing that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, I like what you said about how it's transferable to other religions, too, because there are many nominal Muslims, but there are many nominal Christians. I got a chance to speak at a very liberal Christian church last Sunday. And I realized there's this untapped potential. There are many people out there that are going to church and they don't have a clue what it means to find Jesus. And yet they're going to church for some reason. People are going to mosques for some reason. They're seeking. Okay, my friend, hold on with us over the break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Hi, this is Dana Wright here to announce that Bob Siegel has finally entered the 21st century. It had to happen sooner or later. Now, Bob's popular book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But, is available in ebook format and can be downloaded to your Kindle or Nook. Whenever Bob speaks, people are eager to purchase this book afterwards. But sometimes parents inform him that their kids will not read anything that they can't put on an e-reader. Well, now that is no longer a problem. So if you want a book that can help everyone in your family offer better answers to good, skeptical questions that people ask about Christianity, go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com for I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But, by Bob Siegel, now available for download as an ebook.
Welcome back to KCBQ 1170. I am your host, Bob Siegel, co-hosting with me today, Kevin Conover, and our very special guest. It's just a great honor to have him, who does a fantastic ministry to Muslims, Fahd Masri. And Kevin, I know you've got some more questions for our guest.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, something that I've seen, I have a couple friends, Fahd, who are actually have Muslim exchange students who are staying in their homes. And I actually had one of them ask me, hey, how do I approach this issue? How do I be a witness to him without being offensive? And I was just curious what you would say to somebody. This seems to be a trend here, is that there's a lot of Muslims coming over as exchange students going to UCSD or SDSU learning English. What's the best way for a family to represent Christ to this person? And is it appropriate for them to point out some of the inconsistencies, for example, of the life of Muhammad or anything like that? Or what advice would you give them?
Yes, thank you. That's very good. First, thank you for hosting Saudis and Muslim students. And I know there's a lot of people coming. Like, we estimate now 100,000 students from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia coming, which is great. It's great. It's about time people meet each other and talk about different cultures and enjoy different cultures.
Yeah.
So first, thank you for doing this. And the first thing I'd like to encourage the family is to have a prayer group around them, maybe a small group at church or a few of their friends that they pray with them daily, pray for the person that they're hosting by name, and then ask the Lord to open the conversation. But Jesus says, come follow me. And many times we run ahead of Jesus. We shouldn't be doing that. We should follow Christ. So let Jesus open the conversation for us. And it could be that the Muslim friend or the student will ask a question. For example, why are you different than other Americans? Or I noticed you guys go to church. Why do you go to church? Or why do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? How can God have a physical relationship with Mary? And so sometimes they have these misconceptions about us. So first pray that God will open the conversation and let God lead the conversation if it opens up. The second thing is read about the country they're from. Like if they're Saudi Arabian, they're a little bit different than if they're Lebanese. If they're Lebanese, they're different than Moroccan. So read up a little bit, Google maybe the country they're from, maybe a little bit on their habits. That's always a plus for us as we look at the friend and be like available for them and understanding where they're coming from.
Go ahead.
The last thing I'd like to encourage them is live your life normally. What do you mean by that? If you guys pray before you eat, pray before you eat. If you go to church every Sunday, go to church every Sunday and invite them. And if he says, no, I'm not interested, that's fine. They don't come. Many times you find they are interested because they've never been to church. And if you invite them to come and they say yes, please explain to them what do we do, because they're not used to it. So explain, like, first we have prayer, we have worship and music, and, you know, there's a message. And you might find that they're more open to come again. And lastly is that don't let the relationship go away without you giving them a Bible in their language.
Okay, that's good to hear.
And the best thing we have, the best thing we have is the words of Jesus, the New Testament. That's the best thing we have. It's better than a laptop. It's better than a car. So your Muslim friend, at some point in that relationship, before they leave, just say, hey, you know, I'd like to give you a gift. And it could be, I don't know, maybe I'll give them a small gift from California or whatever. But give them a gift saying, hey, I want to give you the Bible in your language. I think this is a great book, and I would love to for you to see what Jesus says about life and death and eternity.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that the Quran says a lot about Jesus. They do deny that he's the Son of God, but they do call him a prophet of God. And it says a lot of very flattering things about the Bible, too. And in other places, they say that the scriptures have been corrupted. But there are so many positive statements as well that the Quran makes. A lot of people don't realize that the Quran is claiming to be a sequel and a companion to a Bible. So I imagine that is just a great inroad for conversations and a great incentive to hand a Muslim a Bible.
That is correct. And in April of this year, I came out with a new book called Connecting with Muslims. And in it, I show the verses that are in the Quran that say that the Bible is from God. That's chapter 2, verse 136, chapter 3 of the Quran says that God sent the Bible. So when we give them a Bible as a gift, you're not giving them anything wrong. You're not doing anything wrong. You're saying these are the word of God. Now, what you said is true, that they are told that this has been changed, but that's not Quranic. The Quran has three verses. Two of them say that people conceal the truth. Like they have the book of Jesus or the book of Moses or the book of Muhammad, but they conceal it. Okay, well, now it's not concealed. It's available everywhere. That's what it says. The third verse says that some people listened to Muhammad and went and told the story wrong. So there are no verses in the Quran that say that God's word can be corrupted. Because if the Quran says that, then it itself can be corrupted. So anytime it mentions the Injil, which is the Arabic word for New Testament, it says that the Injil is from God. So when you give them the Injil, when you give them the Bible, you're not asking them to do anything wrong. On top of it, like you said, my friend, 97 times Jesus is mentioned in the Quran, while Muhammad is mentioned 25 times. So it's exciting to see God's power, God's sovereignty, God's holiness. But right there in the Quran, Jesus is mentioned 4 times more than Muhammad.
Wow, that's incredible. I wasn't aware of that. You know, Fahd, you said that your grandfather, and correct me if I'm wrong, you said your grandfather came over to America and then went back to his country, and that's actually how you ended up accepting Christ. Is that correct?
Yeah, Grandpa, I didn't know Grandpa, but he led my dad to the Lord, and then God used my father to lead me to faith in Christ. But my grandfather ran away from the Turkish army. He was a Lebanese young man, and took a boat ticket to Ellis Island. And when he got there, they told him, go west, young man, and he moved to Toledo, Ohio. There at the hospital in Toledo. And then after finishing college and living in America for a while, then he decided to move back and became a minister. And he died pastoring a church outside Damascus, Syria.
Wow. And would you say that a lot of Muslims, that's actually how they end up hearing about Christ, is somebody comes to America or somewhere else and then goes back home and then they end up sharing the gospel with their family?
That is great that you're sharing about this, because it is true that when people believe in Christ, especially if they hear about it in a country like Europe or the United States or somewhere, I have a friend who got saved in Costa Rica. He's back in his country sharing the gospel. And, you know, he was on a vacation in Costa Rica and somebody gave him a Bible in Arabic. And it's exciting to see that once we take a step of faith, how God uses that, and the person got saved and baptized a year after he got his Bible. And so it is true that when they come to countries where there's freedom of religion, many get become believers and take the gospel back. Also, though, with the Wi-Fi, internet, Facebook, television stations, satellite television stations, more and more Muslims are not only getting saved, but they are asking questions. Mm. The best thing you could do for your Muslim friend is to help them think. That's the best thing you can help.
Now, would you ever recommend that a Christian actually take the time to go visit a mosque, or would you say that's not something you would recommend?
Well, what we do in our training, we always visit mosques. We always go on a visit to the mosque. But what I would recommend is that they don't go alone, and they do take part of our training. If you can't come to training, you can go to crescentproject.tv, or they can go to unlockthetruth.net, and they can get some training before they go. But I wouldn't recommend they go alone.
Okay, our guest today is Fahd Masri with Crescent Project. We'll be right back. This This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us. Sunday services are at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock every week. Skyline Church, located at 94 and Hamishaw. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show with Kevin Conover.
Thanks very much, Bob. We have Fahd Masri on the phone with us here and as our guest, and real privilege, lots of interesting stuff here. He has a conference coming up November 6th through the 8th here in San Diego. It's at Claremont Covenant Church. Fantastic opportunity to get equipped. We have more and more Muslims coming into the country. There's a growing population of Muslims, and it's pretty cool. What I really think is awesome about this is that rather than having to become a missionary and go to another country in the Middle East, where in some cases your life is at risk or your freedom is at risk, here the Muslims are coming into our country and we have the opportunity to share the gospel without all of that fear of the intense persecution that is going on in some of the countries. And Fahd, I had a question for you about this. There's a popular video out there that actually talks about the changing demographics in the world. And what it's saying is that a majority of Europe is going to eventually become Muslim because of the amount of children that Muslim families have. And I'm just curious about this because I'm wondering, is this a real concern that we need to be concerned about? It is it something that we need to be discussing here in America as well as in Europe? And if so, is this is more of a call to go out and share the gospel and be a witness to Muslims?
Yes, the statistics that they pull, they are correct if they continue. Like they did a study, let's say in Germany, and if the trends continue, yes, that's the case. The issue, though, we're dealing with right now is that the trends are changing drastically every year. With what we call the Arab Spring, that changed a lot of demographics that has not been in that video. The other thing what's happening today is the birth rates in certain countries also have changed. But regardless, my biggest concern as believers is we look at the wrong statistics. Our problem is it doesn't matter by 2050 if there are more Muslims than anyone else. Mm. When Jesus called his disciples, there were only 12 people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it does not matter how many people we need to reach. Christ gave us the commandment 2,000 years ago to go and make disciples of all the nations. There were no countries then who had even a constitution.
Yeah.
There were no countries that even claimed the freedom of religion to believers. So regardless if there are a lot of number of Muslims or a little bit number of Muslims, we want to share the gospel with everyone, especially when we look at the Muslim world and see that there is an urgency. In the past, there was an urgency, but the West was not aware of it. And what September 11 did and what the media is doing that's helping the cause of the gospel is showing that there is an urgency. There are kids and girls and boys and women and men and families being hurt by jihad and religious intolerance and religious fervor that's been there for years, for centuries. But now we are seeing on TV that, hey, there is a problem here. It's no longer, well, let's send them some money or let's send them a BMW or some kind of car. They need the words of Jesus.
Yeah.
That says, I can change it from within. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah, I feel that, you know, our apathy as Christians, sometimes we get so comfortable in our Christianity and we take for granted a lot of the blessings that come from knowing Christ, the freedom that there is in Christ, the peace that comes from knowing Christ. And a lot of times we don't realize that so many people live without that peace. They don't have that internal peace, that rest in Christ, that light burden. And we don't realize that if we are not actively participating in Christ's call on our lives, then what's happening is the enemy is actually dominating people's lives. And eventually that's going to come home to roost. That's a consequence we'll face. I'm sure you're familiar with what happened in Britain, where by a vote in Parliament, they came very close to passing the law that said that Muslims can actually practice Sharia law within their own communities and almost have kind of a mini country within Britain. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, and the struggle with that is because we are an open society and we like to take care of minorities, that's where they're coming from. The issue with Sharia law that people lack understanding of it is people don't study it well. And Sharia law, the first loser in Sharia law is Muslim women.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We tried to bring this up when we had our guest from CARA on a couple of weeks ago, that would be a nightmare for Muslim women.
Yeah, he actually told us, though, that the Quran was completely against treating women as any kind of second-class citizen. How would you respond to somebody like that from CARA?
Yeah, but you have to remember that CARA's job is to be a marketing. They're not there to inform you about Islam. They're there to make Islam look good. Mm. That's what bothers me, is that most of the religious leaders, they don't present what did Islam do that is new. They're always trying to say, oh, you know, the Christians had this and you guys had this. And as if, like, if people are doing something wrong, then they're okay.
What I wanted to ask you.
What is new that Islam brought today? What, not eating pork? That was in the Mosaic law. So the struggle today is chapter 4, verse 34 of the Quran. Chapter 4, verse 34 is the number one issue in dealing with married women today. That is, until they decide to take that out of the Quran, you cannot move forward. Now, nobody wants to touch the issue because, according to Islam, the Quran is the word of God. If God says to do this, how can you argue with God? Why, for us, it's different. For us, Jesus welcomed questions. For us, Jesus did not give us a law. He gave us principles. Even when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the ladies, the disciples who were women, before he appeared to the disciples who were men, on purpose. I believe it was on purpose because he wanted to show everybody that there is no man or woman, no Jew and Gentile, no free or slave. We are all one in Christ. The kingdom is different. It's upside down, as you say in English. It's upside down. We are all one. And, you know, with people with care and others, that's what bothers me. They don't admit there is a problem.
Fahd, what is chapter 4, verse 34 in the Quran actually say?
It says that the men are rulers of women because they feed them, because they take care of them. And the women that you are afraid that they are going to be disloyal, they give you three options. One, you admonish them. Then you leave their beds, which is sexual blackmail. And then the third point is you beat them. Now, they all play around the Arabic word saying, well, you know, that's not the word beat. You know, it's just, you know, a slap on the wrist or whatever. No, no, the Arabic word says beat. The same thing you use, the same thing word you use for beating a horse or beating someone else.
Yeah, I actually have the verse right here, 4:34. Men have authority over women because God has made the one superior to the other, and because they spend their wealth to maintain them. I did have a question, though, about getting back to CARA, which I'll raise after the break, but just to get us thinking about this a little bit, because it seems like there are Muslims that just aren't reading the Quran, and when they say they're peaceful, they're telling the truth. But then you have groups like CARA who I think are aware of what the Quran says, and they're pulling the wool over our eyes. And I want to get some advice on how people can maybe learn to distinguish between these two different kinds of Muslims. We'll be right back.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. Bobsiegel.net.
Siegel Show. And so I had a question for our guest. There are organizations like CARE that are deceptive, that have been caught having ties to Muslims. I don't think that means every member of CARE, but certainly in the organizational structure that's happened. But I know there are a lot of Muslims that seem to be, maybe for want of a better word, nominal Muslims. They're unaware and are speaking sincerely when they don't think that the Quran commands jihad. As you're teaching people to reach out, you did mention that one of the things you're doing is equipping them to be aware of the danger of Islam, as well as sharing the love of Christ. Is there a way to distinguish a bona fide peaceful Muslim and a Muslim that's being deceptive? Are there any cues or clues to look for?
Yeah, most Muslims today are non-Arab. Okay. So from the get-go, anybody who's from Iran, anybody from Afghanistan, Pakistan, Indonesia, Malaysia, Senegal, Nigeria, these are not Arab. They can't read the Arabic, so they don't know the Quran. They only know what they tell them. And then on top of that, most Arab Muslims don't read the Quran. Most people, you know, think of it a little bit like the Catholic Church in the Dark Ages, where, you know, Arabic is a little bit classical Arabic. They don't necessarily go to the mosque regularly. They don't read the Quran. So they are nominal. So most Muslims, they are nominal. And we are a shame-based culture. Because we're a shame-based culture, we're not going to come out and tell you, yeah, we have problems. You know, we're going to always defend. You know, somehow the war in Iraq today is the blame of whatever.
Okay.
George W. Bush. Or, you know. So now how do we tell those who are militant? Usually it's the way they talk, the way they... You know, somebody who says, yeah, it's a privilege for me to kill a Jew or a Christian. Well, that's a scary thing if somebody says that, you know. If somebody says, yeah, if, you know, jihad is an honorable concept. What do you mean an honorable concept? What do you mean jihad is an honorable concept? And so if somebody talks like that, then that's a sign that these people are trying to pull the wool over our eyes, or they are really militant.
Okay, well...
There's no reason to kill somebody because they're from the wrong religion.
Right. Now, I did have one more question. I wanted to get back to what we were talking about with the scripture again, because the Quran says a lot of positive things about the Bible. Now, our guest 2 weeks ago from CARE was saying that the Quran talks about the Bible copies having been corrupted as well. It sounds like some of the same verses that he would have said that you're interpreting differently, and I wanted to revisit that with you again, because that's very interesting. 5:15 says, people of the book, our apostles come to reveal to you much of what you have hidden of the scriptures. And then also in Surah 2, it says, those that suppress any part of the scriptures which God has revealed. So you're looking at words like suppress and hidden differently, and you're not interpreting that to mean that the Quran is claiming the Bible is corrupt, if I'm hearing you correctly.
No, because the Quran says it came to confirm. If the Christians corrupted the Bible, it should have said, I came to replace. It says in Arabic, musaddikan, that the Quran was given musaddikan, to show truth for the Torah of Moses and to confirm the Injil of Jesus. So, you know, that's typical Arabic. I'm not, you know, there's no translation here. Musaddikan means he is telling the truth, that the ones that came before him are true. The verses he brought are, one of them is talking about the people. The other one was not talking about the people, but was talking about everybody who hears the word of God, including Muhammad's words, and they were concealing it. because some people when Muhammad was proclaiming in Mecca, people told, you know, not the truth about Muhammad. And in many ways, things Muhammad said that we agree on, especially in the beginning of his life, the prophet, whatever he said, the prophet of Islam, we agree, especially when he said, you know, worship of one God and mercy and helping your neighbor. We have no problem with that. Our struggle with the Quran is not that they are good verses. Our struggle is, what do you do with the other verses? The verse that says the Jews and the Christians are enemies. What do you do with chapter 9?
Right, that would certainly be a contradiction, because in other places the Jews and the Christians are known as the people of the book. But it is true that Muhammad got different revelations in different stages of his life, so there are some contradictory things in the Quran too, correct?
That is true, and that's where the issue comes. If you want to study the Quran with textual criticism, you find a lot of problems. So repeatedly, they are not allowed to question the Quran. They have no problem questioning any other book except the Quran. You cannot outthink the Quran. You cannot question the Quran. And that's where I believe this is the major issue today in Islam. Until they create, if you want to say, a system, a theological system to reinterpret the Quran, they're going to have a problem. Because if Muhammad is the model Muslim, then whatever Muhammad did, we do. Muhammad led 66 battles. So this is the struggle we're in, you know what I'm saying? You know, who represents true Islam, you know? And for me, though, when people talk to CARE, you have to remember that CARE is here to make sure that everything is good about Islam. Our job is to do damage control.
Fahd,
go straight to the source.
Fahd, we're almost out of time here, and I just want to take an opportunity here before we run out of time to say thank you for coming on the show here.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I'd love to hear from people. They can go on our website, crescentproject.org, and would love to see them at the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to endorse Fahd and his ministry here. I just want to say and encourage everybody out there who's listening. You know what? We're only having more and more Muslims come into the country. We're going to be running into Muslims more and more often. I was at the water park over the summer. I saw lots of Muslims even wearing the full, the burqa and everything in the water. And it's just something that I think we're just going to come into contact with more and more. And as Christians, Christ has called us to be equipped, right, and to be able to witness. So November 6th to the 8th is the conference. You can get information about that on Fahd's website, crescentproject.org. And Fahd, I just wanted to ask you, do you see that the church is responding to the call that God has on their lives to minister to Muslims? Are you getting positive responses to these conferences that you're holding?
Yes, sir. I was in a conference yesterday. We had three conferences across the country at the same time, one-day seminars, and we are so grateful that God is moving and He is raising more and more men and women to serve in this. And I believe that we are seeing a beginning of a revival.
That's fantastic. Very encouraging. Again, November 6th through the 8th, I just pray that the San Diego community just reaches out and begins to really understand Islam and to get involved and not to be afraid or fearful, but actually to begin to move and work. My website is educateforlife.org. I am a Christian apologist myself and actually just got finished teaching on Islam to my high school students at Christian High here in San Diego. And just think that this is an incredible ministry that Fahd has here. So thank you again, Fahd, for being on the show.
Welcome. We see you and your students. They're welcome to come.
Fahd, one last thing right before we go. I led a Muslim from Saudi Arabia to Christ one time, and he told me that when he returned home, if he told anybody he was a Christian, that they would behead him. For any Muslims listening right now who are intrigued but frightened, what kind of encouragement could you give them?
I would say one thing is that Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. They are in His hand. He takes it personally. If anyone wants to hurt Him, let's trust Christ and follow Him closely. He will lead you to the right path.
Okay, that's a perfect way to end on. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you. We'll be right back.
The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.